The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
How's this for an explosive 4th of July bang? The metal god himself, Rob Halford from Judas Priest, is rocking Talk Is Jericho today. The new Priest album, Redeemer of Souls, comes out on Tuesday, July 8th. It's really slamming. I'm super excited about it. Classic Priest is back, baby. We'll get into all things metal. Plus, we're going to talk to Gordy Canuck about Canada. We just passed Canada Day. Lots of cool things. One of the most patriotic Canadians I know. We'll talk to him. We'll talk to Rob. But first, we'll talk all things dog, and that means BarkBox. I'm not kidding when I say my dogs are crazy about that box. Jaws, Bella, and Nibbles know the exact moment it shows up at our front door, and they go nuts until we bring it inside the house and open it up. We get 4 to 6 full-size products every month. We get toys, healthy organic snacks, and cool gadgets. It's different every month, but it's all great high-quality stuff. And it's always stuff that you can't find at the local brand name pet store. I'm telling you, you gotta try this. Just go to BarkBox.com/Jericho to save 20% off your first subscription. And when you do that, not only are you gonna have a happy family, you're also gonna help make a lot of other dogs happy too, because our friends at BarkBox are dedicated to supporting the health and happiness of all dogs. That's why last year they donated over $150,000 to shelters, rescues, and animal welfare organizations. And this year their goal is to donate $1 million. Wow. Help them do it. Spread the happiness. Go to BarkBox.com/Jericho. Save 20% off your subscription. That's BarkBox.com/Jericho.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
He's a world champion wrestler, best-selling author, actor, and lead singer of Fozzy. Now he's rocking the podcast world. This is Talk Is Jericho. Talk Is Jericho, starring Chris Jericho.
Welcome to Talk Is Jericho, the pot of Honda and rock and roll. The spell you're under. We'll be rocking with Chris Jericho. The remedy for boredom has arrived. The People's Podcast is here. Let's go for a ride. Somebody's gonna get their ass kicked. Somebody's gonna get their wig split. Somebody's gonna get their ass kicked. Somebody's gonna get their wig split. Pick him up, beat him up, break his neck, break his neck. Beat him up, beat him up, break his neck, break his neck. Beat him up, beat him up, break his neck, break his neck. Beat him up, beat him up, break his neck. Neck. And it's Friday!
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Happy July 4th to all my listeners in the United States. Happy Canada Day to all my listeners in Canada. That was just a couple days ago as well. Gordy Canuck will be here today to talk all things Canada. And also, Judas Priest's Rob Halford, the metal god, is coming up. Priest's new album, Redeemer of Souls, comes out next Tuesday, July 8th. It's Classic Priest, and the first record they've ever recorded without original guitar player KK Downing. He retired a couple years back, and now they've got Richie Faulkner in the band, and a great, great replacement he's been. You'll hear all about the circumstances that led to KK's departure and Richie's induction. Plus, we'll get into Priest's touring plans this year. October in the States with my boys in Steel Panther, who will be on this podcast up and coming very, very soon as well. We'll ask Rob all about that. Lots to talk about with Rob Halford. Talk Is Jericho. Don't forget the special YouTube episode with Daniel House. You got to go find this episode on YouTube. Just look up YouTube Podcast One Sports and find out the inspirational, heartwarming, heartbreaking tale of Daniel House. Daniel, my buddy, Jerichoholic, Fozzy fanatic, has stage 4 bowel cancer. He was diagnosed last September and given just weeks or maybe months to live, but he's defying the odds and still here, still alive and kicking. He's got an incredible story and an amazing attitude. Very brave, very inspiring, living his last days to the fullest, living with his boots on. He and his story are very inspirational. You got to check it out for yourself. Google YouTube Podcast One Sports and you will find that episode. You won't forget it. You won't regret it. It'll make you live and realize that every day is precious. Again, only on YouTube. Easiest way to find it is Google YouTube Podcast One Sports. Go check that out and hear and support my buddy Daniel living in Tasmania. He's going to come see the WWE show in Melbourne, I think, which I am on. I'm on the Australian tour. I just came back to the WWE on Monday. Very excited about that. Very excited about all the stuff that's coming up. The new Fozzy record, July 22nd. Playing at the Whiskey A Go-Go, July 24th. And doing a lot of WWE shows. Not all of them. I had a lot of previous commitments, but I'm doing some live events, a lot of TVs, a lot of pay-per-views. So keep your eyes open. I'll let you know exactly where I'm going to be each and every week. Actually, on Sunday, I'm going to be in Toronto. Monday, I'll be in Montreal. Tuesday, I'll be in Ottawa. So those are the WWE shows I have coming up for now. So come check me out there if you are so inclined. And I got to say thanks to you guys for listening. And thanks for checking out my sponsors. You can find them all in one place. Just go to podcastone.com. And you can find, that's podcastone.com, of course. Not the number one, the word one. And click on the Keep Our Podcast Free banner at the top of the page. That will take you to Talk Is Jericho. And links to all my sponsors, including Amazon. All the Amazon links are there. Amazon Canada, Amazon UK, and everybody's going Amazon! Amazon USA! That is so flat. I love it, man. It's just completely out of tune, but it just makes me laugh, so I continue to do so. And again, please go to podcastone.com. Click on the Keep Our Podcast Free banner at the top of the page. Then click on Talk Is Jericho and find all my great sponsors. Okay, like we said, today, very patriotic day. It's July 4th. A big day, Independence Day in the United States. But Canada also has their Independence Day, which is on July 1st, which was last Tuesday. Because I had just come back to the WWE, I wanted to tell you guys that story. So I kept my guest. I put him on hold. I got Gordy Canuck here to talk about all things Canadian, one of my favorite Canadians in the world. Gordy, how you doing?
How's it going, eh? Yeah, good to see you, eh? Yeah, just hanging out over here, ain't I? Having a couple beers, all right? I got a 2-4 because it's Canada Day, which kind of makes it a Canada week, eh? So I'm just going to come and hang out and party down for a while, you know what I'm saying, eh? I'm going to shotgun some beers, woo! That's kind of what you do on Canada Day.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Gordy. And, you know, Canada, kind of the forgotten neighbor to the north, still a very proud country, very exciting country, and also a very successful country. A lot of famous Canadians have done a lot of things around the world. Let's go through a few of them. Who do you think the most famous Canadian of all is, Gordy?
Oh, are you crazy? That's obvious. It's Gretzky, eh? No one can ever forget number 99, who used to shoot up the ice and score all them goals from the pocket. He could play with his eyes closed, eh? And he got them cups. He got four of them Stanley Cups. And have you seen his daughter? Oh, wow. She's a hot one, eh? She gives me a stonker every time I see her. Paulina, her name is. I get a stonker from her all the time, eh?
Stonker? What exactly is a stonker, Gordy?
A boner. It's a boner. A stonker. It gives you a tentpole, you know? And Paulina Gretzky gives me a stonker.
Okay, Paulina Gretzky gives you a stonker. All right, so what's your favorite Canadian animal, Gordy?
Well, it's got to be, I like the loons, eh? That, they even got them on the coins. They're called a loonie.
What's a loonie?
A loonie is a coin, a $1 coin. Not to be confused with a toonie, eh?
What's a toonie?
A toonie's a $2 coin, eh? It's a loonie and then there's a toonie.
Okay, let me ask you a couple other questions then, Gordy. What is homo milk? Is that like some kind of, gay liquid?
Homo milk? No, come on, man. It's a homogenized whole milk. The 3% milk. You got your whole milk, you got your skim milk, you got your homo milk. And get your mind out of the gutter, eh? That's the homo milk. Hey.
Okay, what's a double-double?
Well, double-double, you take the homo milk, you put it in your coffee. It's when you order a coffee, you got two creams and two sugars. It's a double-double. I mean, your knowledge of Canadian is brutal, eh? You need to get better there.
Well, I'm working on it, Gordy. I spilled some coffee here, actually. Not a double-double, but I'm just cleaning up with a napkin.
Napkin? What do you mean? What's a napkin?
Well, you know, the piece of paper that you wipe stuff up with?
No, that's a serviette, eh?
A serviette?
Yeah, a serviette. That's a serviette.
Okay. I've never heard that term of a serviette before.
Then besides, why you got your coffee in a cup, you should put it in a Mickey. You get some Bailey's Irish Cream, you put your coffee in there, and you drink it out of the Mickey.
What's a Mickey?
It's like a flask, you know, like you put it in your coat, you can hide it in your pocket, and the cops don't find it when they search you down when you try and get into the Guess Who concert. It's a Mickey. You put it in your Mickey.
Okay, let's go to some other famous Canadians. Who else do you appreciate from Canada?
I'm a big fan of Dan Aykroyd. Eh? He's a good Canadian guy there. And William Shatner, heard him on your show. He's a fine Canadian. Kiefer Sutherland. I like that Jack Bauer and the 2-4 show.
You mean 24, Gordy?
Oh, okay. I thought it was 2-4.
No, it's 24, like 24 hours.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like a 2-4, like a 2-4 beer, eh?
No. You're mistaken.
Okay. Ah, you know, I like the Geddy Lee. I like Triumph, Streetheart, Kickaxe, Helix. Like all those bands, Sebastian Bach, James LaBrie, Chris Jericho, all the Canadian guys, Our Lady Peace, Theory of a Dead Man. A lot of cool bands out there from Canada. Always have been. Anvil, I love Anvil. Gatto is a very good one, too. Lots of good Canadian bands. Prism is amazing. Loverboy, I love Loverboy. You play them on your show there with the cowbell, eh? They're a good rock and roll band. I've always been a fan of those. Got Brian Adams and Kim Mitchell and Aldo Nova. And there's just so many great bands I like. Tragically Hip. I mean, I'm just going to listen all day long to some Canadian bands. I'm going to watch the Blues Brothers and then Wayne's World and Mike Myers. I'm going to watch Ace Ventura with Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber. I'm going to watch the 2-4 show. I'm going to watch Star Trek. I'm going to see some old 1988 Edmonton Oilers hockey games. I'm going to watch some Pierre Trudeau footage, some Bobby Bittman from SCTV along with John Candy, Andrea Martin, Eugene Levy. He's a good one. Rick Moranis, Harold Ramis. So many great Canadians coming around the bend there, and then I'm going to go home there, and I'm going to get another stonker to Pam Anderson. So happy Canada Day, hey! I'm going to have some rye, and I'm going to go have a 2-4, and that's all I got to say about that. It's a beauty, and I'm really excited about it, eh? So I'll see you around there. I got to go to the washroom right now. I'm getting a little bit rattled. There's a lot of snakes around here, and there's a Chinook coming, so I'm going to eat some poutine and hide out in my basement. Okay, good day, hey!
Wow, that was quite the tirade. I guess goodbye to Gordy Canuck. He's hung up already, and those Canadians sure get fired up. All right, happy Canada Day. Happy July 4th. If you're still listening after that, Rob Halford is coming up next. Stick around.
This is Bill Goldberg inviting you to Who's Next with Goldberg.
Who's Next with Goldberg.
Go to podcast1.com. Click on Who's Next with Goldberg, and every Friday, you will listen to conversations with Goldberg and his closest friends. Tony Stewart and Terry Crews.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Burt Reynolds.
And many more.
And you wrestling fans,
I won't forget about you either.
Go to podcast1.com. That's podcastone.com.
This is Talk is Jericho.
All right, on the line with me right now, the metal god is here, Rob Halford. How you doing, Rob?
Hey, Chris. Good to be with you again, buddy. What's going on?
Oh, it's good to talk to you, man. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has. It's been a long spell. You've been jamming away with Fozzy. Got some good action going on with Lifestyle House, and Chris is about ready to unleash another metal monster with Redeemer of Souls. So we're all busy, man. We're all out there doing the metal and, you know, charging ahead, having good times.
You know, it's funny. It doesn't matter how long, you know, for me that I've been doing this in all aspects of being in show business, just to hear the fact that Rob Halford mentioned my band and our first single, that's pretty cool. I'll take that any day.
Well, you know, I love my metal. I love all the bands that are having great actions right now. And you look at the charts, look at what's happening in rock radio. There's some killer stuff taking place. So I like to keep in touch with what's going on, Chris. And it's a real exciting time for a lot of people in 2014.
Yeah, well, you always have done that too, Rob. I mean, even throughout the years, I mean, a lot of guys kind of get in bands and get, you know, kind of don't listen to what's going on in the scene. But you've always kind of kept your ear to the ground, even when, you know, you left Priest and you started Fight, or when you did Two, it was kind of the more industrial stuff, even to the point of appearing on the last Five Finger Death Punch record. Do you feel that's important to kind of keep an eye on what's going on with your peers and with the young bands to keep Priest kind of fresh as well?
Yeah, I think it is, Chris. I mean, I think it's really, really valuable to have an open mind and to be aware of the cool things that are going on around you. Mm-hmm. For me, it's just inspiring and it's exciting, you know, to jam with Death Punch and any of the other adventures that I've had. I love it, man. You know, it does my heart good, and I think that, yeah, I mean, even though Priest has been making metal for 40 years now, we still understand that, you know, if you push all that kind of opportunity away, it can be a you know, not so cool thing to do. You know, when I listen to music now, I listen to music every day of my life. I've got rock radio on, always in the background. Mm-hmm. I'm checking out stuff on the internet. It gives me a buzz, and I get lots of ideas from listening to a lot of the cool things that are happening in today's world. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think if you're able to understand that everything has some kind of value, it's a good thing.
Well, and like you mentioned, 40th anniversary of Judas Priest this year in 2014. Basically, you know, the pioneers of heavy metal, along with, you know, a few select other bands, and you've seen them all come and you've seen them all go. For when you started doing Redeemer of Souls, I mean, it's the first record that you've done in quite a few years now since Nostradamus, which was a concept record. What was the mindset for Redeemer? You wanted to go back to that kind of classic Priest sound? Because this is not another concept record. That was just a one-off for Nostradamus. Now it's back to the album format of Priest. And when you were writing this record, what was your mindset?
Well, I think it's always useful if you can put a little bit of time and distance between your record releases, only because, you know, if you get the opportunity like Priest to go out on the road and see all the fans and to, you know, let our fans know that we love them to death and how important they are and how much they influence us. All of that, plus the fact that it was hard to spell. It was 6 years from Nostradamus to Redeem Your Soul. But, of course, we didn't do that Epitaph too, which took a couple of years.
Right.
Things, and several other things that were going on. But, you know, now I'm able to kind of think all the stuff through. You know what it's like when you're on the road, Chris. You're going a million miles an hour. You're getting hit from every different direction. It's the best feeling in the world. But when you're actually able to kind of take some time down and decompress a little bit, that's when you start to make sense of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So after that Epitaph tour, we took a little bit of a break, and then we reconvened over at Glen Studio in England. And we didn't really have to say much to one another. I mean, of course, Richie Faulkner had become totally embedded in the band by then.
Right.
And the attitude and the plan, if there was a plan, was, again, just to write metal straight from the heart and just to give, maybe reestablish, maybe re-secure some of the things that we love about being in Priest. And it's like we didn't sit down and say, okay, we're going to write a classic album. It's just turned out that way. It was a very natural writing session that moved into recording quite smoothly. It came together, I won't say effortlessly, because it's difficult to, you know, to sustain.
Right.
After 40 years, you can't just go in and bang a few notes together. You've really got to try and, you know, stay at that level of consistency as best you can. And I think, again, with Richie's valuable contribution, we'll be able to pull it off. And I guess at the heart of it, Chris, it does have a lot of great classic elements of Priest. People go, oh man, that's a little bit like Painter, that's a little bit like Stained Glass, I feel a bit of that brings a destiny there. And that's just a very natural occurrence, you know. It just seems to happen that way because that's where our roots are. That's where it comes from, too. So Redeemer of Souls touches on a lot of those does find through the band's career, but in a 2014 presentation.
Well, and you mentioned Richie Faulkner, your new guitar player that took the place of KK Downey. This is the first record, I just realized this as you were talking, the first record ever, the first Priest record that KK Downey has never played on or contributed to. Was that a little bit different to be writing in a room with Glenn and Richie rather than being in a room writing with Glenn and KK like you had so many albums before?
Well, here's the deal. I would say 99.99% of stuff that Priest has put together has been with, and I'm breaking this down as simple as possible, two guitar players and a singer.
Right.
And I've always felt that way of writing stuff has made us been able to make us do this, the kind of things that we've done in our style of metal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it's like with your band, with Fozzy? Now, I don't know how you guys write, but whether it's all together or whether it's just you and your guitar player or however.
Yeah.
It's that chemistry that makes the exciting things happen. And so it's always been that way for Priest. Having said that, and I must quickly emphasize this, KK will always be a pillar in the life of, you know, make a pillar in the roots in the life of Priest.
Mm-hmm.
He's retired now. He's going to have to do his own thing. We wish him well. We can't ignore the fact that he is very, very important to Judas Priest.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, where we're at now, man, you know, we want to keep going. We found this amazing guitar player, Richie Faulkner, after a long, 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 long search. And Richie brings into the writing mix exactly the same thing that KK did, as far as style, the technique, the attitude, all of the components that make a strong writing team, is still intact with Priest.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's the same, not quite the same, if you can get my meaning.
Yeah.
But that thing of two guitar players and a singer is definitely part of what's made Priest become what it is.
Well, and to still to this day, and when you were talking about the Epitaph tour, which was kind of at first, you guys were saying that this is kind of like the final world tour. This is I don't know if people were kind of misinterpreting this, thinking it was kind of a retirement thing or whatever it was. What was it that it was supposed to be? Was it the last world tour, or did you decide that maybe you had kind of overstepped in saying that? What's the status of the band now? Are you still continuing forward, or is this another final world tour? How did that work?
Well, again, before KK retired, we were in that state of mind. You know, we were seriously wondering where we were going to be able to go next.
Mm-hmm.
For lots of different reasons that haven't really been, you know, fully discussed. I don't know if and when they will be, but the fact is at that time, that was the genuine feeling of a farewell tour was the way we were going to go out. And then, of course, with KK retiring literally weeks before that big world tour took off,
mm-hmm.
the dates had been booked, the venues had been booked, you got the crew ready, the flights booked, the hotel, we were all ready to go. And then suddenly, it was like the brakes went on.
Mm.
So Richie came in to that so-called farewell tour at an extraordinary time. I often wonder how would it have been if we'd have completed that world tour with the band intact.
Right.
And then things have changed. It's a really bit of a head job to try and contemplate it, but the fact of the matter is, with Richie standing on the stage night after night and that energy pouring out and the love coming back from the fans, man, you know, there's no way we can stop doing what we're doing. It's part of what we live and breathe, heavy metal music, and I mean that in the most sincere way. The fans, again, it's all about the fans, Chris, you know.
Yeah.
When we finish that world tour, you can't say that to it. You know, the mm-hmm. fans have given us this life. The fans have been the ones that come to the show, get the record, get the T-shirt. They've given us this life. I know it's an exchange. We make the music, the fans support it and everything. But we had such an incredible reaction and time with our fans that we said, no, this ain't the end, you know. We are going to reformat the way we tour a little bit, readjust it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But we ain't quitting, you know, we're carrying on.
Well, as you should, because like you said, Rob, I mean, I went and saw the Stones last year, and Mick is, you know, 70 or 71 or whatever. Sang great, moved great. I mean, you're in the right business. Rock and roll, you don't ever have to retire, quote unquote. You can, just like you said, alter your tours, do instead of 300 gigs a year like you guys used to, just knock it down to 80 or whatever it is and continue forward. I mean, because you still sound great. Have you ever had any issues with your voice over the years as you get older, considering that your voice is one of the most powerful in the history, not just of heavy metal, but of rock and roll? Is it still, I'm not going to say easy, but can you still hold that power without having to worry about taking a couple steps down as the years go on?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you listen to what I was doing on Sad Rings of Destiny, there are some things that it's impossible for me to replicate.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know what it's like, Chris, as a singer, your voice changes.
Yes.
As you go on through the journey of life.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to say that the power and the sustain is still there. So I've had to adjust a little bit for Redeemer of Souls.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the main components of what I do are still pretty much intact, thank the Lord, you know.
Right.
So it'll be interesting. I mean, I haven't been out for 2 or 3 years, and we're getting ready to kick off this tour, as you know, in October in the States. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. But before that, we're going to have quite an extensive rehearsal period. And I don't know what it's like for you, Chris, but I find that after I've done maybe, you know, 4 or 5 days, a week's worth of singing, my vocal muscles, my voice just tend to find a spot. And, you know, I get a comfort level.
Yes.
I know how I'm going to hit those notes. I know how my phrasing is going to be. I know how I'm going to have to breathe, all that kind of thing. It's practice, isn't it, Chris, for singers? You practice, practice, practice. You find your way to where you need to get to. And so, yeah, you know, some days I get a bit frustrated because I really wish I could do those things from the past. But, you know, that's life. And I know it, the fans know it. And I think that as long as you can go out on stage and give 1,000%, no matter what you look like, if you can, you know, you can bang those tunes out and make exciting things happen, give people a great night out. That's all that matters.
Well, and like you said, too, I mean, your voice is a muscle. And when you don't use that muscle for a while, it has a tendency to get out of shape. But when you get on the road and start practicing and singing every night, like you said, doing a 2-hour set, it's amazing how different your voice responds. But is there certain songs, like what's the hardest song in the set for you to sing to this day? Like, there's a couple songs in my set where I'm like, okay, here comes the monster, and you know, like, okay, if I can nail this one, it's going to be a great gig. Or if it's going to be a so-so rendition, it's going to be a tough gig. Is there a song in the set like that for you that you know, okay, I'm going to kill this one, it's great, or it's going to be an issue tonight?
Well, here's the deal. When I do Painkiller, that's pretty easy for me, and I'm not saying that's like, you know, like it's a big,
no, but yet,
a big issue. I it's just a technique I use singing that song, and I can pretty much get the delivery right.
Yeah,
because it's essentially in one tone, one kind of octave, and one kind of,
yeah, sure,
performing. When I'm doing something like Victim of Changes, which are some fierce stuff, some more mellow stuff.
Yeah.
And then some of the high stuff. Those are the nights where you think, oh, please, God, let me stop before you even get there. You know, go, oh, man, I have to, you know. And again, it really is a head job. You can psych yourself out, you know?
Yeah.
But so those are sometimes the difficult ones. But the thing is, you know, when you've got a set and you're going out to play to a, there are certain songs you've got to play. You've got to do Breaking the Law. You've got to do Living After Midnight. You've got to do Another Thing Coming. You know, there are certain staples,
yes,
to your career, your success, that your fans demand and are entitled to hear. Fortunately, most of that stuff for me as a singer is doable. But some of the stuff that we call out maybe that we haven't done for a long time, like we're going to start rehearsing soon and we've got a great list of tunes, some of which, again, we haven't played for a very, very long time,
mm-hmm.
and some of which we may not have performed live ever. So it'll be interesting to see how those work out, you know. I think that the thing is, you've got to try these things. You don't cut yourself any slack, you know. Don't listen to a tune on your headphones or whatever. Man, I can't do that. Just try it. Try to do it, and you may have to make a little bit of an adjustment here and there.
Yeah.
But if it's still sounding good, and it's convincing, and it's connecting, then go for it. But it's, you know what it's like, Chris, you know, you wake up one day and your throat's really sore, or, you know, you've got a bit of a head cold.
Yes.
You know, that can affect performance. It's a struggle, but, you know, hey, man, it's rock and roll. You know, that's what I love about it. If you didn't have that human element, you know, where some days your performance isn't as bright as other days, that's what makes us real. It's supposed to be like that, and the fans know it.
Exactly. You said, yeah, that's rock and roll, man. You go out there, you put on a show, you work the crowd. If you hit a couple clams, it's all right, man. It's not a big deal.
We're talking to Rob Halford. We've got more coming up right after this. Is your computer running slow? Well, mycleanpc.com can clean it up and speed it up today. Now you might be asking yourself, how did my computer get this way? It's so frustrating, right? I know. Well, opening infected email attachments, downloading music and games can slow your computer down. Over time, running these programs can cause junk files, internet clutter, processor and hard drive errors to build up in your computer. MyCleanPC can help. First, go to mycleanpc.com and in minutes you can get a free computer diagnosis and find out what's slowing down your computer. Then, simply activate MyCleanPC software to clean out the junk, internet clutter, and even remove viruses as well. MyCleanPC is guaranteed to increase the speed of your computer. With MyCleanPC, there are two easy steps to speed up your computer. First, go to mycleanpc.com and get a free computer diagnosis. Then, simply activate MyCleanPC software to optimize your computer performance. Go to mycleanpc.com today and find out what's slowing down your computer. That's mycleanpc.com. Go there now.
Hey everybody, it's good old JR, WWE Hall of Famer. Subscribe to and download the Ross Report. That's my podcast. I've got UFC champ Ronda Rousey with us this week.
This is the same celebration meal. I always need a huge plate of buffalo wings, naked with extra hot sauce and blue cheese on the side. Get that ranch away from me.
Download the Ross Report at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
5 seconds.
Oh, switching to Geico could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay. Judges? That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo! Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Talk is Jericho.
On the line with me right now, Rob Halford. It was funny that we were just on tour, and I brought out the Live Aid DVD, the full show from the Live Aid 1985, where, of course, Judas Priest played. And you guys did Green Man Alicia, and you're walking around, you're chewing gum. It's like you guys are just killing it. And then, of course, here comes those screams at the end, and everybody gets quiet. Is he going to do it? And you just nailed it, like effortlessly nailed these crazy high screams at the end of that song, which was so cool to see. And also, you guys were one of the only metal bands on that day. What do you remember about Live Aid? Like, how was that show for you guys?
Well, firstly, I've got reference to... the Bob Geldof, the Spoontown Rats, that put that wonderful event together to do some good.
Yeah.
You know, I always feel music is just some good anyway, regardless of where it's coming from, whether it's a charity group or otherwise. Music is a healer. Music makes people feel great. Music does good things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, you know, it was a crazy day. It was just amazing to be in the company of such an extraordinary array of talent. It was priest and Sabbath. I love that idea that on that day in JFK Stadium in Philadelphia all those years ago, the metal performers were priest and Sabbath. And
yeah.
How cool is that? That, you know, they were there then, and both fans are still here now in 2014 doing good stuff. But, you know, I think we had like 20 minutes to play, 15 minutes to play. It was in the middle of the afternoon. It was boiling hot.
Yeah.
I remember walking out, and the sun was really intense, but the crowd was buzzing. It was just a really cool festival atmosphere. You know, all these amazing people were there. Like, I got to meet one of my all-time heroes, Jack Nicholson.
Oh, wow.
We party together. And I get starstruck like everybody, and to have to be hanging out with him, and such a cool guy. That was a real highlight for me. And then, just one more thing about that.
Sure.
That was the day we met Joan Baez. Sitting outside my trailer, and I see Joan Baez walking towards me. I think, oh, damn, you know, she's heard our version of Diamonds and Rust, and she's, you know, she's pissed. But she wasn't. She came, and she said, Rob, I said, hi, Joan. I said, everything cool? She said, yeah. She said, I just wanted to say my son just played me that rendition that he did of my song, Diamonds and Rust. And I just want to say thank you. He did a really, really cool interpretation of it. I thought, how sweet was that? This icon, this legend
yeah.
in her style of music. It would be so sweet to do something like that. That was just the vibe of that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, professionals will always give each other props and support each other. And that's what she did. So that live aid was just a great, great event and great things happened to it and wonderful memories.
Yeah, and it's fun to watch it back because, like you said, it's a veritable list of Rock and Roll Hall of Famers of who's there, both in Philly and also over in London, too. And you mentioned, and this just popped in my head, too, that you guys played along with Sabbath. You guys were like the two representatives of heavy metal, of course, both bands being from Birmingham. And also, you are the one guy that sang in both basic famous lineups of Sabbath. You sang for the Dio version, and then you sang for the Ozzy version. How much time did you have to rehearse on the DOD? What was the story behind that, Rob, about how you ended up subbing for Ronnie James Dio with Black Sabbath on an Ozzy show?
Well, I'll try and look back into my metal memory bank as best I can, Chris. I was in. I've got 40 years of it in my head. As I recall, I was at my place in Phoenix. I still got a place in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a call, and somebody says, Tony wants to speak to you. And I said, okay, you know, just set it up and I'll speak. So from the discussion, there was a little bit of stuff going down between Ozzy and Ronnie at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Ronnie wanted to step to the side for that those two customized shows. So I was like a kid in a candy store. I'm like, oh my God, you know, I'm going to sing in the Sabbath. This is like crazy. two of my biggest bands, Priest and Sabbath, Priest and Sabbath. So the guys were on tour. They came through Phoenix. We rented a tiny little studio in Phoenix. And prior to that, me and Tony had talked about the set list. We also, this is what I love about Tony. He said, are there any Sabbath songs you want to do? I said, you're asking me. What's going on? He goes, no, you know, I'm a Sabbath song. So we actually did a couple of songs out of my, you know, love of the Sabbath tunes.
Yeah.
But here's what went down. I did my usual thing. I put the headphones on, was walking around the house, screaming my head off, singing all of these Sabbath songs, learning them, you know, figuring out how to sing them as best I could.
Mm-hmm.
And then the day came along where we went to this little studio in Phoenix. We ran through everything once, just once. And then the next day, we had the show. We got on the bus, and the next day, we had the show in Costa Mesa. And that's how we came together.
So you had...
And if it wasn't for this one guy who had a pretty high-end video camera in the audience, I wouldn't have that precious bootleg that I've got.
Yeah.
I've still got that in my I've still got I've got his bootleg collection, and you can see the performance, you know, from like back up in the bleachers.
It's so amazing.
What an amazing thing that was. And then quickly, just to follow it up, when
sure.
Chris were out with Sabbath on the Ozfest, we were doing the show in Camden in Jersey. I got a call in my hotel from Sharon, and she said, "Oz is not feeling too good. Can you step in?" And I said, "What do you want me to do?" And she goes, "Tonight." I'm like, "What, tonight? Give me a break. No, you want to do it now? Oh, you can do it, Robbie. You know Ozzy's songs, you know Sabbath songs." I go, "Okay. Send me a tape at last night's show." So they sent it to me. I got on my bus, went in the back room, put the DVD on, and again, just sang along with it for the gig, did the pre-set, had a quick shower, went out and did the Sabbath show, and that was that. But it's like you say, Chris, you know, that's what we do for each other, you know. We finish it back and we help out what we need to. But those are two extraordinary things for me, and I'm just so grateful that I had the opportunity. And I thought it was very gracious that I was completely humbled that they asked me to come and do the gig. Really, really good making memories.
Well, you're the one guy that could fill in, and also because you're both from Birmingham, you can understand each other's accents. So that's good too.
Yeah. When me and Ozzy talking to each other, people on the outside going, "What the hell are they talking about?"
I'm sure. Hey, listen, Rob, I have to ask you this. When I came into the WWE, there was a guy who mentored me. His name is Pat Patterson. He was a wrestler from the 60s and 70s. Smartest man I ever met in the business. Taught me everything I knew. And he's gay. He's a gay guy. And he told me back in the days he had to kind of hide the fact that he was gay in the 60s and 70s and early 80s because wrestling was a very macho society, as you can remember. How was it for you in the 80s to kind of have to, I guess, hide that in the world of heavy metal, the fact that you were a gay man, was that kind of tough? Was it hard on you as a person? How did you deal with that back in those days?
Well, exactly the same thing as your friend did. You hide, you know.
Yeah.
Because when you're doing something that you love, you do everything that you need to protect it. And I love my band so much, I would never have ever put the band in a position that I felt would have created any difficulties or problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what I was doing then. And of course, life is a little bit different for people like me now. It's still not the best because we're still searching and demanding equality.
Mm-hmm.
I could talk forever on that subject, but I'm just trying to be concise. What I've discovered, Chris, is that, you know, life is a gift, life is precious. You should live your life on your own terms. If you can't live it for yourself, if you can't find peace in your own life, and if you're living it for other people or other situations, that's not the right way to go. I know that now.
Mm-hmm.
I know that now. And I didn't know that at the time that, for example, in the 80s when Priest was just roaring in America, you just make these adjustments. And let me just quickly follow that up with saying that some of my self-imposed type of secret life was to a great extent now, I think, it wasn't necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt all these people would hate me, my fans would hate me, my family would hate me, my friends would hate me, everybody would push me away. Nothing like that happened at all. When I made the announcement, you know, the feedback was unbelievable. I just had this incredible outpouring of love and support, and that made me feel great. It made me feel great. And so now I would encourage everybody, it doesn't matter what generation you are, but particularly for younger kids who might be listening to me and you're talking, Chris, you know,
mm-hmm.
just don't worry about it, man. Just go out there and live your life, and you'll find it. You'll find that you'll really set yourself free. You'll really feel better about yourself. You'll become a stronger person. True love is unconditional love. Unconditional love means you'll accept people for whatever they are, whatever religion you are, orientation, you know, fat, thin, black, white. It don't matter. It's rubbish, you know. At the heart of it all is our heart. You know, we all bleed red blood.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And so it's a wonderful thing that's happened to me from my friends, and I can't thank them enough for accepting it. And I think, again, it destroys this myth that metalheads are bigoted and not tolerant and not smart. That's rubbish.
Yes.
Metalheads are very, very cool, articulate, smart, intelligent people, or we always have been. So, you know, for all the gay metalheads out there, you know, live it, love it, just be yourself and have good times.
Yeah, because it really doesn't make a difference. It never did. But I mean, back in the 80s, like you said, it was weird how times were then. And now, like, you could, it doesn't even really, no one even would even bat an eye, I would think. But the fact, like you said, the way things were back in those days, it was just, I mean, the world has changed for the better, because it was kind of a real, I mean, if you know, back in those days, metal was studs and leather, and that, a lot of that was because of Priest. But also, you know, you got to be macho and you got to be heavy, and that's it. Now you just like what you like and do what you want to do, and it's a much better society for that, I would think.
It is. I couldn't agree more with you, Chris. Like I said, though, there are still some struggles for acceptance that we're trying to achieve, and particularly in this country. I love America so much. I can't stress that enough. America still is a beacon of hope and light for a lot of people around the world, you know. Mm-hmm. And there are standards in America that still, you know, the world looks at. So wonderful things are happening, still a long way to go. But yeah, you know, it really saddens me that, you know, I can't go on a stage in Russia. And I mean, I can go on a stage in Russia and I can just be who I am. And that, to me, is a statement in itself.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to say, hey, I'd like to give a shout out to all my gay metalheads tonight, they would arrest me.
Really?
It's stupid. It's crazy.
To this day, so, they'd still arrest you.
Yeah, you know, and there's other parts of the world where horrible things happen to people like me. It's just terrible. But God bless America for you know, stepping forward and pushing and slowly, you know, bringing it all together into the right perspective and balance.
Right. Well, I mean, like you said, you've got a legion of fans behind you, always had, always will.
Yeah.
Redeemer of Souls is coming out July 8th. You're about ready to go on tour. How in the hell do you put together a set list at this stage of the game, Rob, without doing a 3.5-hour set?
Well, we're going to condense it a little bit now, Chris. We just had a great trip to New York recently, and I'll be coming to New York again for the release week. We were in Brooklyn doing some promotion at a studio and doing photo shoots, and while we were there, we sat down together for an hour and put together a list, and it was ridiculous. We'd been on stage for a week. Ian, what do you want to play? I want to play this. This is Scott. What do you want to play? I want to play the Glenn Leisure list. We had like 100 tunes, and oh my God, it's always it's so crazy, you know, trying to put a concise list together. But I think that, you know, the main components of what people love about Preach will be in the set list. Obviously, we're going to play some new stuff from Redeemer of Souls. It's also the 30th anniversary of Defenders of the Faith.
Wow.
You know, we've got, it's mad, man. And every year, we have a record in the history of the band. Hitting the 30th, the 35th, the 40th, you know, it's the 40th anniversary of rock and roll, and it's the 30th anniversary of Defenders of the Faith.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's certainly more and more difficult as you go on, but I think we'll nail it. I think we'll get some good turns and just give everybody, you know, a great selection like this one did.
Have you ever done an album in its entirety? Have you ever gone that route at all?
Yeah, we did the British Steel album.
Okay.
We only did it in America for whatever reason. We did the British Steel tour. We played the whole record from back. It felt amazing. It felt really, really good. And I think that, you know, there's no reason why you can't do that again and again. But at a pre-show, like I say, there are certain tunes that are really important and that the fans want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the set list is going to be. You know, for a fact that when we play our first show, whenever that's going to be in October, within minutes, the set list will be on the internet.
Yeah.
You probably all know what we're doing, you know.
Within a minute, the set list will be on the internet, and within a minute after that, people will be complaining about songs that you're not including in the set.
Oh, man, you can't wait.
You know, it's funny, too, because you have so many great songs, and some of them are kind of ones that, like, when Metallica started doing Rapid Fire, you forget how heavy of a tune that is. I saw you sing that with them at the Golden Gods, which was amazing. What a night that was. And you actually had a cane. Did you have some kind of an injury at that point in time? I didn't get a chance to ask you. You had to have a cane when you were on stage that night. Do you remember?
Yeah, I got through. That was a really, really difficult day for me. I didn't really say any much about it, but I mean, literally within days afterwards, I was back in England having a major back operation.
Oh, like, wow! Okay.
Back surgery. But you know, I wanted to do that gig. It was for Death Punch. All of those guys are great. I mean, if you know those guys personally, like I do, they're absolutely wonderful people. Wanted to do that, and of course, as soon as I set foot in the building in Lars hears that I'm there, he said, come on, Robbie, don't worry. Oh, okay. So we ran through rapid fire in their little room, what we always do, and we banged it out. But yeah, I had to go back to the UK and have something taken care of. I mean, it's the same with you, Chris. When you go in there, some days you've got an injury, but you just got to go in and fight.
That's right.
Through it. You know, you have to do your show and then see the doctors or whomever afterwards. And that's how it turned out to be. But I'm good now. My surgeon, who's just a miracle man, he told me it would be about a year before I was fully fit, and it's been about a year now. I feel good now. I feel strong.
Great.
We're blessed to have such talented people looking after us health-wise. So I'm good, but thanks for
that. No, I was not laughing in a bad way, but you were, like I said, you're on a cane and you go on stage and just screaming like the best vocal performance. I was like, man, this guy's too much. He really is a metal machine. There's no doubt about it. A heavy metal machine.
Hey, you just grit your teeth and get in there and be metal.
Get it done, man. Hey, last couple questions, Rob. When you guys play live, what songs still get the crazy reactions from your fans?
I'll break them a little, you know. I mean, it's got to the point now where I don't even sing it. I just put in the mark at the crowd and say, get on with it, you know.
What a great feeling, huh? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I take a 3.5 minute break. But I would say that one, Green Man Lucy, obviously, Victim of Changes. They're all good, you know. You probably experience the same vibes with your band, Fozzy. Your fans that kind of gravitate more to certain songs than other songs. I don't know why that happens. It just happens. No.
I remember.
But it's very cool.
I remember that you guys had a record a few years ago, a CD, where everybody, other kind of guys in bands, had to choose their favorite Priest song. I remember Hetfield took Victim of Changes, and I think Slash picked Screaming for Vengeance. The one that I chose was The Sentinel. That was always my favorite one. For whatever reason, I don't know why. I love how you pronounced Saint-Anal. I just love that.
Saint-Anal.
Saint-Anal.
It's like when I go... It's like when I go heavy metal. Is anyone really brilliant at heavy metal? my Birmingham accent. That was a cool song. I think you chose. It was a great moment, that singles cross world, The Chosen Few. We have a lot of wonderful friends in the music business. We've known each other forever, and we're always kind of looking out for each other as far as what we're doing, how we're doing. It's a good thing, isn't it? It's a great support system. And we're all living the life, aren't we? You know, it doesn't matter whether you're on stage in front of 300,000 people or 300 people or 30 people. You're living the same life. We're all getting the same vibe going down, you know?
That's right.
Best thing in the world. But that was a good choice, Chris. And that's a great song to play live. Really, a lot of drama, you know, a lot of dynamics in that tune. Really, really good vibes come from it.
It's great solos, and just the breakdown of it was amazing. For me, it was always kind of the epitome of Priest. Last question, yeah. Redeemer of Souls, notwithstanding, because every band always says, you know, like, this is your best work and you should think so, and I'm sure you feel that way. But other than Redeemer of Souls, what's your favorite Priest album, if you had to choose one that just, every time you hear it, just really comes together for you?
I'd still point back all the way back to Sad Rings of Destiny.
Wow.
The reason I do that is because
if you really listen to it, if you know your metal, if you know your priest, a lot of the components of Thunderings of Destiny have lived with its band all the way through to Redeemer of Souls. And also I'll say this, that when you're a new band, your music at that point is very pure, it's unfluttered, it's unfiltered.
Yeah.
There aren't any extraneous people. It's not managers saying try this, it's not labels saying try this.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're doing it from a very pure place. So there's something very magical about that record. Out of all of the hundreds of tunes that we've done, if you want to get a handle on what Creep is about as a band, listen to Sovereign to Destiny.
Well, Rob, thank you so much for doing this today, man. Redeemer of Souls, I'm super excited to hear it. July 8th, a new record. Priest is back. You're back. Always a perfect gentleman. And so thank you so much for doing this with me today, Rob.
Hey, Chris. You're a fellow metal brother, and it's always a pleasure speaking with you. Good luck with Father. I hope we'll maybe get a chance to jam it, you know, together on the stage at the festival sometime this year. Good luck with everything, man, and I wish you well.
Thanks, Rob. Talk to you soon, my friend. Hopefully we'll see you soon.
Yeah, we definitely will. See you, Chris. Bye-bye.
We just want to remind you about the special Talk is Jericho episode on YouTube only. Daniel House, a big Fozzy fan, flew from Tasmania to Melbourne last year to come see our show. He was told that he had only weeks to live with an inoperable, incurable bowel cancer. Now he's still with us, still fighting every day, enjoying his life, appreciating his life. He's got a great little girl. He's got a great girlfriend, great family. It started out that he was a Jerichoholic. Now we are all Houseaholics. Google YouTube Podcast One Sports and take a listen to the amazing Daniel House. It's that easy. Go to Google, type in YouTube Podcast One Sports. It'll take you right to it. Support Daniel. Listen to his story. You won't take life for granted. I know I learned a lot from him, and you will too. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Rob Halford. Thanks to Daniel House. Thanks to you for checking out my show. I know there's hundreds of thousands of podcasts for you to schwoz from, and I appreciate you schwozing mine. And thanks for using my Amazon link every time you do your online shopping. Really easy to find. Just go to podcastone.com, click on the Keep Our Podcast Free banner at the top of the page, and click on Talk is Jericho. You'll see all three of my Amazon links, USA, UK, and Amazon Canada, on Canada Day. Maybe Gordy Canuck will go check it out. Every time you do that, Amazon kicks back a little cash to the show so we can keep doing this for you for free for twice a week. No hidden fees, no extra charges. You're just getting your shopping done and helping me out in the process, and you know I appreciate it. New Fozzy record coming out July 22nd. Do you want to start a war? If you pre-order it now, take a screenshot of the pre-order and send it to @FozzyRock on the Twitter, and we will follow you. And you can also hear Lights Go Out now, and you can hear One Crazed Anarchist, which I'm going to play for you right now from the new Fozzy record. Do you want to start a war to finish up Talk is Jericho today? Here it is. Crank it up.
We'll be right back. Anarchist. Like he's anarchist. Like he's anarchist. Like he's anarchist.
You dug One Crazed Anarchist. If you like it, hit us up on the Twitter at Talk Is Jericho or at Fozzy Rock and let us know your thoughts. So we'll see you next week. I thank you so much for rocking with me as always. In the meantime and in between time, that's it, another edition of Talk Is Jericho. Stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs. See you next week and a big yeah boy.
You can download new episodes of Talk Is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. that's podcastone.com.
Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
5 seconds.
Oh, switching to Geico could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay. Judges? That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo!
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to Geico, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Syria Peace Talks? I'm Ben Thomas with an AP News Minute. Syrian rebels have rejected peace talks being proposed by Russia. They're accusing Moscow of failing to pressure its ally, President Bashar Assad, to end the conflict. Christmas may be over, but the shopping isn't. Hazel Ginn was at Macy's Herald Square in New York today.
It's not too bad. Even we went up to the 9th floor, and we managed to get in a queue of about 4 deep, so not bad. Yeah, and then we went to another one, and it was only a couple, so we kind of timed it well, I think.
America's research group, which focuses on consumer behavior, projects holiday sales up about 5% this year. Harley-Davidson is placing a renewed emphasis on teaching people to ride as part of its efforts to attract more customers. The company is expanding the number of dealerships with a Harley Riding Academy. The move comes as the industry grapples with years of declining sales and an aging customer base. I'm Ben Thomas.